Okay, today's daf is Shavuos, daf Mem Zayin. This is the last daf Yomi Shir we're going to have in Maseches Shavuos because I'm going to be away for Shabbos and Sunday. But Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up again on Monday with the beginning of Maseches Avodah Zarah. But right now we are holding in Shavuos, daf Mem Vav Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, not the last two dots on the page, but the two dots where it says Nechbal Ketzad. Again, if you recall, this all goes back to the very long Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, where the Mishnah said that all the Nishban Shebetorah are Nishban V'lo Mishalmin, but there is a list of people that are Nishban V'Nolten. People take a Shvua Midrabanan and therefore are able to collect money. So we discussed the first two on the list were the Sachir and the Nigzal. We are now up to number three on the list, which was a Nechbal. And the Gemara explained that the case was there were two people that were Meyed, that a person went into a room where Reuven goes into a room that Shimon is already present, and Reuven was perfectly fine when he walked into the room, but Reuven walks out of the room and he's totally messed up, he's all beaten up, and when he comes out of the room he says to Shimon, "You beat me up." Shimon says, "I don't know what you're talking about, I never touched you, I didn't beat you up." So I raise a Nishba Vinotel, then Reuven can go and take a Shavua and collect the money from Shimon. And Rabbi Huda, of course, says, no, there has to at least be a Miktsas Hoda'ah in order to be Nishba Vinotel. So that's the case of Nechbal. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Huda, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu, El B'makom She'yachol Lichbol Ba'atzmo. Avol B'makom She'yachol Lichbol Ba'atzmo, Vinotel Shelo B'Shvua. We're only going to impose a Shvua on him in order to collect if he's beaten up in a place where he could have done it to himself. Meaning he walked into an empty room, a room that was completely empty except for Reuven, and he came out beaten up. So there's only two possibilities of what happened. Either Reuven beat him up or he beat himself up. So if those are both legitimate possibilities, then he's going to have to take a shvur that Reuven beat him up and that he'll be able to collect. But if he was beaten up in a spot where he couldn't have touched himself, he couldn't have beaten himself up, he's whipped on his back, in the small of his back, there's no way he'd be able to reach it to be able to hurt himself in that way. So then he's going to be notel, then he'll be able to collect the money even without a shvur because there's no other possibility. Obviously, the other guy beat him up. So frak the Gemara of Inecho Shulma Bekosel Nischachech, but there is another possibility. He could have rubbed his back up against the wall and therefore beaten himself up in that way, bruised his back that way, even without anyone beating him up. So Tani Rabbi Chiya Shalsul Neshicha Begabo Ubein Atzila Yadav. No, the case is that it wasn't a bruise. It was a bite. A human bite mark was on his back between his shoulders. So you could try all day. It's not gonna, you know, even if you're in the circus, you're not gonna be able to bite your own back in between your shoulders. So obviously the other guy did it to him. I affected Gemar Vidilma Acher Avidlei, but how do you know it was this guy? Maybe it was a third party that came in and did this to him. Says Gemar Deleka Acher, there is no third party. Nobody was there. We know that nobody else was there, and therefore there's no other chashash of what it could have been. Now the Rambam in Hilchos Chovel Perkei Halacha Hey writes, Aval ein imahim acher v'haisa makad b'makom shein yachal asos ba'atzmo. If there was no one else with them, and the makah was in a place where he couldn't have done it himself, goin shaisa neshicha ben ksefav hareze nota below shvua. Right, then he'll be able to collect without a shvua. Now the Beis Shmuel writes in Eben Ezer Sin Mem Beis of Kotnir Beis be a dia below riyo kmo kan de bechavala motziin mamon. That this is an example of what we call yedia below riyo. You know something even though you didn't see it. And what you see from here is that if you know something to be true, even if we don't have any edus to it, we didn't see it, nevertheless you can collect money from it. So he says, Hu adin bi isha hamiskadeshes bi yedia below ri'iya. What if a woman has kiddushin with yedia without ri'iya? We know she had kiddushin, but we didn't see it. Afilu ro anasina yichol nahev kilu ro gufa maisa. What's an example? You have two Eidim under the chuppah that are supposed to watch the Nesinas HaTabas, they're supposed to watch the giving of the ring from Chasen to Kala. They're ready, they're looking, they're staring, and as he's about to put the ring on, the Chasen's about to put the ring on the Kala, flashes, because of the cameras, flash and they blink, and they miss the giving of the ring. So they didn't actually see the ring being placed onto the Kala's hand. But they know exactly what happened, they blink for a second, right before they blinked, the Chasen was right there, right by the tip of her finger, and right after they blinked, it was on her finger. So they know exactly what happened. So says the Beis Shmuel, that's Yediya below Re'iya, that's good enough even for Eidus Kiddushin. It's good enough. Even when you have Eidus Lekiyim Adavar, that's called legitimate Eidus. Of course, we discussed Yediya below Re'iya in other contexts in this Masechta, but the most practical example of where we actually rely on Yediyah B'Lariya, on knowing that something is true without actually seeing it, is of course Rav Moshe's tshuva about Chalav Stam, or Chalav Akum. Rav Moshe says that nowadays all milk produced in America with government regulations has the din of Chalav Yisrael. Aye, but there's no Jew watching the milking, but every Jew knows that the milk came from a cow. Since, because of the government regulations, we know it for sure. So since we know it for sure, that's called that we have Eidos. That's as if you have Eidos that that the milk came from a cow, and that's his kula when it comes to Chalav Yisrael. Rav Moshe has a different tshuva. What if you're in attendance at a Reform wedding, right? And you're not right under the chuppah. You're sitting in the room. And you're a kosher aid, and you have another kosher aid with you, and everyone else is pasul. The two aidim that they set aside under the chuppah are pasul. So do we say that you have eidos for kiddushin because you have two kosher aidim sitting in the back of the room, and they know what's going on under the chuppah? There's definitely a ring being given and a kiddushin being done. So Rav Moshe said, no, that's not called yediyah, because you don't know what they're doing at the reform ceremony. The rabbi at the reform ceremony may be doing a double ring ceremony and explaining that kiddushin works in two directions, in which case no one has das to do a legitimate kiddushin, and then that would obviously invalidate the entire thing. So Rav Moshe says that's not a case of yediyah blaria, simply because you don't have yediyah. But typically, when you have yediyah, that's good enough. So here's an example of edus of yediyah blaria. Good. Next case in the Mishnah, v'shekenegdo chashud. So the Mishnah went on to say that if another example of where you could take a shvua and be notel, take a shvua midrabanan and collect, is when kenegdo chashur al shvua. And we said, what does it mean, is chashur al shvua? Whether it be is chashur al shvua se'edos, shvua se'pikadon, afilu shvua shav, and afilu ayimesachik b'kuvya, and malva beribis, even if he's chashur al shvua shav, even if he's just a gambler, he lends money with interest, he's a mafricha yonim, he races pigeons with sochre shvius, he does business with shmita produce, shekenegdo nishpav. So the guy who's supposed to take the shvua cannot take the shvua in that case, and therefore shekenegdo nishpa v'notel. The other guy will take a shvua and will collect. So says the Gemara. Maiva afilu shvua shav. What's the afilu of shvua shav? A guy who's chashur al shvua. So we said if it's a shvua seidus, a shvua sepikadon, that he's been suspected of lying about. So what does it mean afilu shvua shav? What's the extra chiddush of shvua shav? So says Gemara, lomi baya kamar, lomi baya hanach to ispu kfiras mamon. Not only, it doesn't even need to be said that the other types of edus where he's clearly denying money by the shvus edus and by the shvus apikadon, it's a money issue. So he's a ganav for when he lies on such shvus. Elafilu hanami the kfiras tvarim bialmahu loma hemin. That even when it comes to shvua shav, where it's just stam words, shvua shav, he just says that this table is made out of gold, and it's not, so it's obviously not. So that's a shvua shav. It doesn't cost anybody anything when he takes a shvua shav. Nevertheless, that's going to ruin his ne'emanus for any type of shvua in the future, even shvuas that involve monetary matters. Meaning, one might have said a svara, yeah, to swear that this table is gold, that didn't bother anybody. But when it comes to someone's money at stake, the guy's never going to actually lie about that. Maybe we could trust him for a shvua. Comes along the Mishnah's Bechadish, no, that he's a chashur al shvua. V'lisninami shvuas bitoy. Why don't we mention in the Mishnah shvuas bitoy as well? So it says, Mar, kikatani shvua d'chi kamishtava b'shikra kamishtava. Al shvuas bitoy d'ikul memer d'bekushta kamishtava lo katani. We're only mentioning those shvuas that when he takes them, we know that he's lying. But in the case of the shvuas bitoy, we don't know that he was lying when he took the shvua. Meaning, if a guy takes a shvuas bitoy, I'm going to eat a slice of pizza today, and he ends up not eating the slice of pizza, so he violated the shvua. It's a shvuas bitoy, right? But we don't know when he said the shvua he was lying. Maybe when he said the shvua he fully intended to eat a slice of pizza. Just happened to be one, you know, he got distracted or something happened over the course of the day and he ended up not actually doing it. But that was his full intention at the beginning. So Mela, that's not going to be somebody who's telling a lie. So we're not going to include in the Mishnah somebody who did not tell a lie. Says the Gemara, Tenach ochel v'lo ochel. Achalti v'lo achalti ma'ikul meimar. That's that's really good if what he said, if what his Shavuos Bitoy was about was the future. He said, I will eat, I will not eat. But what if it was about the past? What if he said, I did eat and I did not eat, and he lied? So there we know it's a Shavuos Bitoy, but that's B'Sheker, right at the beginning. Why don't we include that in the Mishnah? So it says, Gemara Tana Shavuos Shav, called the Damilei. Yeah, that's similar enough to Shavuos Shav, that sort of is included when the Mishnah says Shavuos Shav. But the Mishnah doesn't mention Shavuos Bitoy, because Stam case of Shavuos Bitoy is about the future. That is about something that you will do. And such a Shavua is not actually a lie, necessarily. The person may have really meant it at the time that they took the Shavua. If you look at Tosos, of the Shavuos Bitoy, Digla Meimra B'Kushta Mishnah V'lo Katani, so it says Tosos, Mikan Ratzu L'daktek, that they want to be Medayik from here, D'misha Avar Al Acherim Lo Yifsa L'Shavua, that someone who violates Acherim is not possible for a Shavua. Kiven de b'shas kabbalas cherim ikalimem rebekushta mishtava. Since at the time that he was makabal the cherim, it could be that he was telling the truth. He just didn't have the willpower to follow it through. But at the time that he accepts it upon himself, he's telling the truth. So therefore, he's not going to be puzzled. So says Tosfos, it's not correct though. Vamar Rabbeinu Tam de puzzle who v'hachal lo kamar ela de lo katani. He says, what does our Gemara say? Does our Gemara say that if a person takes a Shavuos Bitoy and then he doesn't live up to it, that he's kosher to take a future Shavua? Our Gemara never says that. That's what it sounds like it's saying, but our Gemara is not saying that. Our Gemara says that the Mishnah doesn't discuss a case of Shavuos Bitoy. When the Mishnah talks about people who are chashar al Shavua, it doesn't mention a guy who's violated Shavuos Bitoy. Now, certainly a guy who's violated Shavuos Bitoy is chashar al Shavua, Tosel says. It's just that he's not one of the people mentioned in our Mishnah. The Mishnah has the right to limit the list to whoever it wants to limit it to, and it limits the list to people who are lying at the time of their Shavua. But certainly someone who's someone who didn't lie but took a Shavuos Bitoy and then didn't follow through is also Chashar al Shavua. That's what Tosos wants to suggest, as perhaps Pshat in what the Gemara says. The Gemara never says that someone that's Bekushta Kamishtava is Lo Nifsal. All it says is Lo Katani, that it doesn't mention him in the Mishnah. One more point on the Shavua Shav issue. The previous Tosos before that, Vafilu Shavua Shav, raises an interesting question. He says, Hikshu Rabbeinu Tam, did Perek Zeborer, Masech Sanhedrin, third Perek of Masech Sanhedrin, Amrino Navarya Nochel Nevelos Lahachis. If you have a guy who's over Averos and he eats Nevelos Lahachis, he eats non-kosher food, not because he has a taiva for it, but Lahachis, to get a Kodesh Baruch Hu angry, as a way of rebelling. Abai Yomer Pasel, Rava Yomer Kosher. Abai says he's Pasel Eidos, Rava says he could still be an aid. Rasha the Chamas be Inon, because Rava says, why could he be an aid? Because he's not a ganav, he doesn't steal money from anybody. And in order to be possible, you need to be a Rasha de Chamas. You need to be someone who's dishonest on monetary matters in order to be possible to aid when it comes to Dine Mamonos. Uparach, and the Gemara asks on that, Mi Titania al Tashas Rasha aid, Elu HaGazlanim, Mumal and Bishvua, that who's possible to aid? Those Gazlanim and people who violate Shvuos. My love, Achashua Shav. And the Gemara says, even if someone just violates the Shavuos Shav where there's no money issue, he's still going to be Pasul Eidus. So don't you see that you don't need a Rasha de Chamas to be Pasul Eidus? So the Gemara answers, lo, idvd Shavuos Mamon. No, maybe we're talking about Shavuos Mamon, only Shavuos Mamon, not Shavuos Shav. So Frek tells us, based on our Gemara, Vahasha, Milo Parkman Mas Nisin, the Pasul Behedian Nishbal Shav Lishvua. V'lo palik shum tana v'adin diyivso la'idus. Why don't we say a raya from our Mishnah? In our Mishnah, we have explicitly listed on the list of people who are pasul l'shavua is someone who's violated shavua shav in the past. So if he's pasul l'shavua, shouldn't he also be pasul la'idus? Isn't that the greatest raya that you don't need a rasha de chamas to be pasul le'edus, because you have someone who's not a Rasha de Chamas, someone who's never stolen money, who's never dishonest about money issues. He's only taking a Shavua Shav, and he's listed as someone who's pasul Shavua. Says Tosos, big difference between Eidos and Shavua. V'yeshlomer dehasim gabe Eidos machshirina nishba l'shav kiven dolavi Rasha de Chamas. When it comes to testifying in a monetary case, so just because I violated the Isser ben Adam l'makom of a Shavua Shav, does not mean I'm going to lie about my friend's money. Aval hacha shvu kvar ra lebrios imhu mishaker v'kofer mamon ukvar mishenishvu l'shav havi ra l'shamayim hilkach havi pasul shvua. But over here, when he's already taken a shvua shav and now he wants to take another shvua, we're not concerned about the beinon of the chavero element of whatever shvua we want to impose on him now. No, we don't assume that he'll violate beinon the chavero, but the beinon of the makom element. He's already has a chazaka that he's ra l'shamayim, that the issue of not being careful the shvuos, that he already has a track record for. So when it comes to things that are ben adam lamakom, we're not going to trust him, and therefore he's only going to be possible for a shvua, but he's not going to be possible for edus. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter on the top line of Mem Zayin Amar Aleph, Hayechad Men Mesachek Bekuvia. We said that if the guy who's supposed to take a shvua is a gambler, he's a Mesachek Bekuvia, so he can't take a shvua, the other party has to take the shvua. Frankly, Gemara Asulamli, why do we have to keep on mentioning all these different types of psulin? We get the idea that that if people have violated Shavua in the past, people have done all sorts of Yisurim, Malva Baribis, and all sorts of Yisurim. Why do we have to keep on mentioning Mesachi Pekuvia, Malva Baribis, Mafricha Yonim, Safri Shvius? We keep on giving more examples. So says the Gemara, Tana Psul Daraisa Vaktani Psul Darabanan. We want to mention Mesachi Pekuvia because that's a Psul Darabanan. So we want to mention that even people who are only Pasul Midrabanan cannot take a Shavua, and that flips the Shavua around onto the other guy. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says Mesachi Pekuvia, Gezel Darabanan Hu, Damrina Nasmachtalo. When a person gambles, it's not stealing midaraisa because he's not going and taking anyone's money against their will. The person he's playing poker with enters the game realizing that he might lose money. So the person gives him the money when he loses that hand. So it's not stealing midaraisa, but midrabanan we consider it stealing because we know that the other party that you're playing poker with, the other parties that you're playing poker with, we know that if they thought they had no chance of winning, if they thought that they wouldn't win, if you would tell them in advance, look, you could play, but you can't win, they never would have entered the game. They're only entering the game because they still have at least a chance of winning. And therefore, the Rabbanan were misaked, that's considered that you're taking their money against their will. That's called a smachta, and that's gezel midrabanan, right? That's gezel midrabanan. That is the shita of Rashi, that it's only gezel midrabanan. That's also the shita of Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch in Chosh Mishpatzim, Shinayin, Sif Beis, and the Tzos says that's also the shita of the Mordechai. However, there are other Rishonim, Tosfos, Mesechus Roshonadav, Chav Beis, Amin Aleph, and in Mesechus Sanhedrin, Chav Dalar, and Beis, hold that asmachta lo kanya min haTorah, that midal raisa, you're not kona with asmachta. So it's not only midrabanan, it's even midar raisa. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, hayushneim chashudin. What if both of them were chashud? Meaning both parties were. We said when one party, the guy who's chayav the shvua was chashud, so you flip the shvua onto the other guy. What if both parties are chashud al shvua? Then who takes the shvua? Then what do you do? So the Gemara, the Mishnah had said a machlokas. Right? We said that chazra shvua lemakoma divrei Rabbi Yosi, Rameir miyachloku. Rabbi Yosi says the shvua goes back to its original place. We'll see what that means. And Rameir says, nah, you just split the money because no one can take a shvua, so you split the difference, you just split the money. So frak the Gemara, amle Rav Rav Nachman hechitnan. Rav says Rav Nachman, what's the version of the Mishnah that you have? What does Rabbi Yossi say and what does Rabbi Meir say? Meaning apparently there was some confusion as to the Girsa. We know that there were two Shitos and that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi were the author of the two Shitos. We just don't know which one Rabbi Meir authored, which one Rabbi Yossi authored. So he said, what was your version of the Mishnah? Amalei lo yadani. He says, tell you the truth, I don't know. I'm not sure whether Rabbi Meir's Shita was Chazra Shvua or was Yachloku. I don't know which one says Chazra Shvua L'mekoma and which one says Yachloku. Samalei Hilchsamai. So he says to him, okay, so what's the halacha? How do we paskin? Samalei Lo Yadani says, I don't know how to paskin either. Meaning clearly when he was asking him who says what, the reason he was asking that, it seems, was that he wanted to know how to paskin. That when you ask who says what, it's because we know that the halacha, when it's Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir, the halacha is always like Rabbi Yossi, right? We always paskin like Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Meir. So that's why it was important to know which shita said what. And that's why he followed it up by saying, this is the Torah Chaim says. That's why he followed up as soon as he said, I don't know, he says, well, he says, so what am I supposed to do about the halacha? So halacha can be. So he says, you know, that's why I don't know the answer to that question either, because I don't know who says what. Why is it that we paskin like Rabbi Yossi and not like Rabbi Meir? So the Gemara in Erev in Yud Gimel Beis says that we were never koveh the halacha like Rav Meir, shelo yachlu lamad al sof dato, because Rav Meir was so brilliant, we were never able to quite follow his logic, his way of thinking. He had such a complicated way of thinking that it was very difficult for other people to follow. So he may have been right, but we would never know. It wasn't verifiable because we weren't bright enough to be able to follow his line of thinking. So we can't paskin that way. We can't trust that. Whereas Rabbi Yossi is just the opposite. Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara in Gittin, Samach Zayin, Amin Aleph, says, Nimuko imo, that he always gave very clear explanations and the logic, and you followed it for Aleph, Beis, Gimel, you know, what Rachel Bitcha Ketani was able to take you through the case and explain how he arrived at his conclusions. So since he was always very logical and very clear-minded, so that's why we always passing like Rabbi Yossi. So that's why this was a critical question. Who says what? So he doesn't give an answer. The Gemara doesn't give an answer right now. So says the Gemara weiter. Itmar, Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyomi, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Yossi, Amar Yachloku. Rav Yossi is the one that says Yachloku, he says. V'chein tani Rav Zur Baroshia, Rav Yossi, Amar Yachloku. And that's what Rav Zur Baroshia taught, that it's Rav Yossi who said Yachloku. Ikad Amri tani Rav Zvid, Amar Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi, Amar Yachloku. Some say tani Rav Zur, Amar Rav Yossi, that Rav Yossi says Yachloku. Amar Rav Yosef Bar Minyomi, Ovid Rav Nachman, Uvda Yachloku. That Rav Nachman actually paskin halacha lamaisa Yachloku. Right? So apparently, that's what we assume, that since Rabbi Yossi is the one, right, that's why the Gemara makes a big deal first about saying all these people held that Rabbi Yossi held Yachloku, and that's why Rav Nachman relied on that, and of Rav Nachman Uvda, and Yachloku, and he paskined to actually divide it up. Okay, Chazra Shvul the Mekoma. So what was the other Shita, though, the one that doesn't say Yachloku, the Shita of Rav Meir, was that the Shvua goes back to its place. Meaning, again, what's the case? Reuven is really Chayiv Shvua to Shimon, but Reuven is Chashra al-Shvua. So we say, okay, let's flip it on to Shimon. Problem is, Shimon is Chashra al-Shvua also. Now what do we do? So that was the two Shitos, either Yachloku or Chazra Shvul the Mekoma. Question is, what does Chazra Shvul the Mekoma mean? So it says, Mar Lehechem Chazra, where does the Shvua return to? Amar Abiyami Rabbi Sein the Shvua goes back to Har Sinai. What does it mean? The Shvua goes back to Har Sinai. So if you look at Rashi, the Shvua Har Sinai sheshpia Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael alo sigzal. We go back to the Shvua that Kadosh Baruch Hu is mashpia klal Yisrael not to steal. V'hu yifrim and akofer mamon lechavero. And God will pay back the one who denies money that he owes to his friend. Av beizin ein iskakon lo the Shvua v'lo lepiron. But beizin is totally misalik themselves over here. They can't cause someone to have to pay, nor to take a Shvua in this case. Beizin just leaves it alone. So essentially, nobody pays anybody anything. Whoever's holding onto the money gets to keep it. Now, obviously, up in Shemayim, he's going to have to answer for himself if he's stealing, but as far as Beis Din is concerned, nothing happens. That's what Chazra Shvul Mekoma means. Rabbi Simon Shabbat Yisrael Amru, no, Rabbi Simon Shabbat Yisrael said, that's not what it means. Rather, Chazra Shvul Mechuyavla. If Reuven was originally Chayiv the Shvua, he couldn't take it because he was Chashud, and Shimon can't take it because he's Chashud, we bring the Shvua back to Reuven and we say, look, you're Chayiv the Shvua, or you got to pay up. One or the other. You're the one that's really chayiv over here. So that's what it means. And therefore, he's going to lose the money. He's going to have to pay all the money because he can't take the shvua. That's the Rabbi Seinu Shabaret Yisrael. Amrav Papa, Rabbi Seinu Shabbavel, Ravu Shmuel. Rabbi Seinu Shabaret Yisrael, Rabbi Abba. He says, you should know, the Rabbi Seinu Shabbavel are Rav and Shmuel, the people who say Chazru Shvul Sinai. And Rabbi Seinu Shabaret Yisrael is Rabbi Abba. How do we know that? So Rabbi Seinu Shabbavel, Ravu Shmuel, the Tanan, because we learned the Mishnah, Vechena Yisrael. Someone lo yifru el b'shvua, that you summon also can't get paid unless they take a shvua va'avinimba, and we asked on that miman, who are they getting paid from? Ilema melova, if you want to say that they're getting paid back from the guy who borrowed money from their father, avun shakel b'lo shvua ve'inu b'shvua. The father would be able to collect without a shvua, so why should they have to take a shvua? Generally, the way the pattern is that Yisomim have more koach than the father. Meaning, the father, the Yisomim we always treat with a little more kindness. So if the father was able to collect from the lova based on a shtar that he has, so without having to take a shvua, just pulls out the document, says, look, it says here you owe me money. That's all he needs, and he's able to collect the money. So when the Yisamim find a shtar that says that the Lova owes them money, so they that's it. They shouldn't need to take a shvua. They should be able to pull out this document and say, you owe us money, and that's it. End of story. So why should the Yisamim have to take a shvua if they're collecting, in fact, from the Lova? Ela hachi kamar. So rather, what we must be saying is as follows. V'cheina Yisamim mina Yisamim lo yifru el b'shvua. When Yisamim are collecting from the Yisamim of the Lova, they need to take a shvua. Rav and Shmuel say that's only if the lender died first. But if the borrower died first, if the borrower died first, then the lender, at that point, once the borrower dies and only his children are alive, and the malva comes with a shtar and says, I want you to pay me back, I want you, the Yisomim, to pay me back from your father's estate, the halacha is, the malva is going to need take a shvua to get paid back because he's trying to collect from Yisomim. So now that's the halacha once the lova dies. Now when the malva subsequently dies, so what happens to his chiv shvua? It doesn't disappear. The chiv shvua is still there. The only problem is his children can't take it because his children don't know. They can't swear that the money is still owed because they don't know that for a fact. So the Shvua, he can't give over Beirusha to his children. So that's the Rabbi Seinu Sheba Bavel. The Rabbi Seinu Sheba Bavel are going to say that Yisomim can only collect with the Shvua when they're collecting from Yisomim if it's a case where the Loved died first. But the problem is they can't take the shvua, right? Ain't the morish shvua lebanav. If you look at Rashi, ain't the morish lebanav mamun shu mechuyev alav shvua alma hol v'hu mechuyev shvua shalos kabalti chovzeh. Since the malva was chayev a shvua that he never received the money, v'yisomin ein yicholin li shavakein, and his children can't take that shvua because they don't know that for a fact. Elishol pakadnu abba. All they could say is that our father never told us anything about this. Vein zvua shvua mutelas alaviyam, and that's not the shvua that there's a chiyev for. V'gam yasmi lova in yichol nishava sheparu avien, and the son of the lova can't swear that their father paid back. So come Rav Shmuel shelo yifru. That's why Rav Shmuel said you don't get paid back at all. No one pays. So what do you see? Rav and Shmuel are of the opinion, Alma mechuyev shvua, that if you're chayev a shvua, but you can't take the shvua for whatever technicalities, ve'in yichalun lishava lo zeh v'lo zeh, and no one is able, neither side is able to take the shvua, so what do you do? Sviril Rav Shmuel chazur shvua l'sinei, ve'in kal lo shvua v'lo piron. No one pays anything. Right, Rav and Shmuel hold that nobody gets any money. So you see, the Rav and Shmuel are the Rabbi Seinu Shabbavel, who in our case, in our Mishnah, where both parties are chashed al shvua, say nobody pays anything. Bezin has to totally be misalik themselves from the case. Good. So that's the raya that Rav and Shmuel are the Rabbi Seinu Shabbavel. Now, what did Rabbi Seinu Shabbat Yisrael say? Rabbi Seinu Shabbat Yisrael said the shvua goes back to the original person who was really chayev the shvua. If he can't take it, he's going to have to pay up. Right? So says where Rabbi Seinu Sheber Yisrael Rabbi Abba. The Rabbi Seinu Sheber Yisrael are Rabbi Abba. How do we know that? The Ugavra Dechat of Nascha Michavre, famous case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. We've had it earlier in this Masechta already, and we had it in Bab Basra. Very well-known case. Case of Nascha de Rabbi Abba. What happened? A guy grabs a piece of silver from his friend, Asl Kameh Rabbi Ami, and he comes in front of Rabbi Ami. Yosef Rabbi Abba Kameh, and Rabbi Abba happened to have been sitting in front of Rabbi Ami at the time. Aisi Chad Sahad de Michtav Chad Famine. So Reuven grabbed silver from Shimon. Shimon found one aide who was able to testify that Reuven, in fact, grabbed the silver from him, right? Amarlei, so they say to Reuven, Nu, what do you have to say for yourself? There's an aide against you that says that you grabbed the silver away from Shimon. So Amarlei, in chatfi, v'didi chatfi, Reuven says, absolutely right, I grabbed it from him, because it was mine. He took it first, so I grabbed it back from him. It's my silver. But yes, you're right, I forcefully took it from him. Amar Rabbi Ami, so Rabbi Ami says, oh boy, what do we do now? Hechi v'dainu dayani lahaydina. How do dayanim treat such a case? Namely, let's go through our options. Namely, zil shalim. Should we tell Reuven he's got to go pay back Shimon? Leka trei sahadi. There are no two witnesses that Reuven ever took the money from Shimon. We only have one witness. Niftarei, should we let him off the hook? But there is a witness that he took the money from Shimon, and when there's one witness, you can't just let the guy off the hook. So what do we normally say when there's one witness against you? Normally we say, you're chayev a shvua, right? So namele zil ishtava, should we say that he has to go and take a shvua? That's not an option here either, because normally what would the shvua have to be? That the witness is lying, that I didn't grab it. But over here, Kivan Da'amar Michtav Chatfi, have a Liki Gazlan. Once he says Michtav Chatfi, he says, no, I did grab it. So then we treat him as if he's a Gazlan and he can't take a Shavua. So he's unable to take a Shavua. So Amalei Rabbi Abba, have a Mechuyiv Shavua Vein Yachal Yishavas. Rabbi Abba says, oh, he's a Chayiv Shavua, but he can't take the Shavua. What do we do when you're Chayiv Shavua, but you can't take it? V'kal Mechuyiv Shavua Vein Yachal Yishava, Mishalem. Whenever you're Chayiv Shavua and you can't take the Shavua for whatever reason, so then you go ahead and you pay. So you see, that's how we know that Rabbi Abba is the Rabbi Seinu Sheberetz Yisrael, who in our Mishnah, when neither party is able to take the Shavua, held that you pay, that you just pay up the money, because neither party is able to take the Shavua. Good, that's the Shita of Rabbi Abba. Fine. Now, the case that the Gemara describes, how this all played out in the courtroom, was that Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of, who? Rabbi Ami, right? Rabbi Abba was sitting in front of Rabbi Ami. Now, that implies that Rabbi Abba was the Talmud of Rabbi Ami. Because when someone is being a Dan, a Din Torah, and you have other people that are Yosef Kamei, the people that are Yosef Kamei generally are the Talmidim. Tosfos over here discusses that issue. He says, is that true that Rabbi Abba was a Talmud of Rabbi Ami? Mashmashay Talmido, Vadakari Leila El Rabbi Ami Rabbi Seinu, Hachi Nami Matsin Parakhavi says, but that's strange because earlier Rabbi Abba referred to Rabbi Ami as Rabbi Seinu. Now, Rabbi Ami referred to Rabbi Abba as Rabbi Seinu. If he was his Talmud, why would he refer to him as Rabbi Seinu? So he says, yes, yeah, sometimes you have that the Rebbe refers to the Talmud as Rabbi Seinu. Shakar Rav Rabbi Seinu l'Rav Kahana Ravasi. Rav referred to Rav Kahana Ravasi as Rabbi Seinu. Show your Talmidav, even though they were his Talmidim. That sometimes is a way of showing respect to your Talmidim and how much you admire, how much they learned from you, so you can refer to them as Rabbi Seinu as well. Aval Kashim Perikel Metzias. Problem is, Rabbi Ami had a shayla. He came to Rabbi Abba. Amalei zil shkol nafshcha. And Rabbi Abba told him what to do. Alma lohayu Rabbi Abba talmido. Now, it's one thing to refer to your Talmud as Rabbi Seinu. It's another thing to go ask him a shayla and have him paskin the shayla for you. So it sounds like he wasn't really his Talmud. So that's the difficulty. So he says, if you say that he was Asal Kamed Rabbi Asi, not Rabbi Ami, so then it works out a little bit better. Even though Rabbi Ami was greater than Rabbi Asi, because the Gemara always mentions Rabbi Ami before Rabbi Asi, right? So nevertheless, it's still okay that he can go ask him a Shaila, right? Because he was his Rebbe. And he says also another possibility, it could be that Rabbi Ami just worked his way up to the point that he was the Posek Adar, and then everyone would come and ask him the Shailas. Even his own Rebbe would come and ask him the Shailas. Okay, says Gemara Vayter about 5-6 lines from the end of the page. Amar Rava, Kavasi de Rabbi Abba Mistavra. By the way, when the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Yud Zayin is a whole list of whenever we use vague terminology to refer to certain groups or Amoraim, like Rabbi Seinu Bebavel said this, Rabbi Seinu Shever Yisrael said this. So the Gemara over there says Rabbi Seinu Shever Yisrael is Rabbi Abba. So the Ramban points out the Gemara doesn't just have a tradition that that's the case. The Gemara knew that from this, from Shavuos Mem Zayin, where we proved that when we quoted Rabbi Seinu Shever Yisrael, that it only fits with the Shita of Rabbi Abba. So right, so that's what that's how we know that Rabbi Seinu Shever Yisrael is in fact Rabbi Abba. Amar Rava Kavaseh Rabbi Abba Mesavra, that it's logical to assume like Rabbi Abba. The Tani Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami taught Shavuos Hashem Tia Bein Shnei and V'lo Bein Yorshin, that the Shavua has to be amongst the parties themselves, not amongst the Yorshin. So Hechidami, what's the case exactly where we need a pasuk to tell me that it's not amongst the Yorshin? If it says that one Yorish comes to the other Yorish and says, your father owed my father $100, and the other Yorish says, no, he only owed him 50, he already paid him back the other 50, malihu mali avua. Well, if he knows for sure, and he's making a tiny bevadai of how much he owed him, so why should it make any difference if the father was chayv shvuah, let the kid be chayv shvuah also? He's motive b'mitzas, he's not not guessing. He's saying he knows for sure. So then it shouldn't make a difference. He should also be chayav shvua. Elulav, so it must be that the case is the amr le manalaba biyadavicha, that the yorish of Reuven comes to the yorish of Shimon and says, your father owed my father $100. Amr le chamishin yadana v'chamishin lo yadana. Shimon's yorish says, look, $50 I know he owes him. The other $50 I don't know. As far as I know, he doesn't owe him that money, but I don't know for sure. I just don't know anything about it. So I amr pishlama aviv ki agav mechayiv. Now, what would be if the father himself, in that case, didn't know, right? And therefore, so what would the halacha be? So if the father in such a case would have been chayiv shvua isrukra lemiftar gabayarshin, then I understand why you need a pasuk to tell me that the yarshim in that case aren't chayiv shvua, that they don't need to take a shvua in that case. But if you're going to say even the father in such a case is also pater, why would you need an extra pasuk to come and tell you that the yarshim are pater from a shvua in that case? Even the father would have been pater from a shvua in that case. So of course the yarshim are pater from a shvua in that case. So that's a raya that the father would have been chayiv a shvua in that case. Why would he be chayiv the money in that case? Why would he be chayiv the money in that case? Because he's a niyach lishava. If he says lo yadana, he can't swear. He says, look, I know I owe you 50, the other 50 I don't know about. So he can't swear shvuas mother mitzvahs because he doesn't know. You can't swear something you don't know. So what would we say? When you can't swear, what do? So Rabbi Abba held, you pay the money. So it must be that we hold like Rabbi Abba, that since the father in that situation of $50 I know I owe you, $50 I don't know about, would have to pay the money, so we need a pasuk to come and tell me that the children are pater, the children don't have to pay the money, because they're different than the father. Says Gemara, V'ravu Shmuel, Hai Shvuas Hashem, Mai Kadar Shibay. So that works out really great according to Rabbi Abba, the Rabbi Seinu Sheberetz Yisrael, who holds that when you can't take a shmuel, you got to pay up. But according to Rabbi Shmuel, well, that when you can't take a shvua, that the shvua that you don't have to pay up. That when we say chazur shvua, it just means chazur shvua itzal Sinai. The shvua goes back to our Sinai, and no one has to pay anything because Beis Din just is misalik themselves. So what do they do with that pasuk? How did they darshan that pasuk? The shvuas Hashem tia bein shneim v'lo bein ayarshim. So mibay lelich detanya. They use the pasuk to teach us the brisa of Shimon ben Tarfon. That Shimon ben Tarfon. I don't know how many times Shimon ben Tarfon comes up in Shas. But on this Amud, he comes up three times. Right? In this Amud, we mention everything Shimon ben Tarfon, probably everything, every tradition we have from Shimon ben Tarfon. It says, Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, Shvuas Hashem Tiyah Ben Shneim, Melamit Shashvua Chala Al Shneim. That teaches us that the Chiyuv for the Shvua is Chal on both of them. Meaning, one might think that if I claim money against my friend, and my friend is Modu B'Mikzas, so he's Chayiv to take a Shvua, and therefore, if he lies in the Shvua, or if anything happens with that Shvua, it's his problem, it's not my problem. So no, Shimon ben Tarfon says, both parties are faulted for any issues with the Shvua. Meaning, it takes two to cause a Chiyuv Shvua. It's not only his problem when there's a Shvua that's being taken, it's your issue also. And whatever onesh there is for the Shvua, you're going to bear that same onesh. We had this idea earlier in the Masechta also. Trying to remember the context that we had it, but right, what was it when we referred to both parties as Rasha'im, right? That what do we need to do by these Rasha'im? So we asked, what do you mean, these Rasha'im? Only one of them is a Rasha. The guy who's lying is a Rasha. The other guy is not. No, he said the other guy also, if he's causing the other one to take a Shavua, for allowing it to get to that point, he's also responsible. So Shimon ben Tarfon has a pasuk that learns that way. Once we mention Shimon ben Tarfon, so we mentioned a lot about Shimon ben Tarfon. Shimon ben Tarfon omer, asar lo okay vachar noef minayin. Someone who's okay vachar noef, Rashi says someone who causes women to become adult, to do adultery, to commit adultery. He doesn't actually do adultery himself, but he's a facilitator of adultery. He's a shadchan for adultery, let's say. Right? So he causes women to do adultery. So Talmud Lomar, lo sinaf, lo sanif. That's also a violation of lo sinaf. Even when you facilitate adultery, that's also a violation of lo sinaf. In Chashuk Yechemed, the shaylas that Rav Zilberstein gets, he was asked about a case of Yaakov was getting married and he wanted Reuven and Shimon to be his edim, and he found out that Reuven is someone who's an attorney, that every time clients come to him, even Jew against Jew, he always brings them to secular court, Tarchos. He never suggests that they go to Beis Din. So the question is he apostle or aid? He's not the one who's suing anybody in the secular courts, he's just the one that's causing everybody to go to the secular courts. So he quotes that the Bira Gra writes that we learn from Shavuos Mem Zayin, from this case of Okev Acher Noef, that someone who facilitates an Isur Chamor, it's as if he's violated an Isur Chamor. And therefore, maybe the same would be true over here. However, he points out that Mishnah Berurah Siman Nun Gimel Sivkat and Pei Beis tells us that someone who goes to the secular courts can't be a Bal Tefillah for Yom Narayim, someone who avoids Beis Din. But Mishnah Berurah says, Ulai Bismanenu Bavonosenu Arabim Dinishtakach Isum Mikama Anashim. Maybe nowadays, in our many sins, where people don't even realize that it's Aser anymore, Efshar Du Shogeg B'Davar in the post. So it could be that he's only considered a Shogeg and we can't passel him. That's what Zilberstein says. Look, it could be that he's a Shogeg and you're not going to passel him La'edus. Just because he goes to the secular courts, Yom Narayim, you should still. Rabbi Zilberstein says we should still probably be careful about that. But to pass on Le'edus, maybe if it's something that people don't assume is Aser, it's not going to be a problem. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Shimon ben Tarfon Omer, another Shimon ben Tarfon teaching. Tartem v'ginisam ba'alo shel makom. That if the tartem is spy out the land, v'ginisam v'ginisam es hamakom. Rashi says that they mock or what's the word I'm looking for? They disparage Hakadosh Baruch Hu ba'alo shel makom in the actual tent of Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Adanar hagadol nahar pras Shimon ben Tarfon Omer. Karav legabe dihina v'idhan, that if you touch someone who's Mashuach, who's anointed with oil, you get a little bit of oil on yourself as well. So that's why we call the Nahar Pras Nahar Hagadol, even though it's not really the Nahar Hagadol, it's the smallest of the rivers, because when you hang out with the big boys, you get to be considered a big boy also. Debei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Eved Melech Kemelech. Debei Rabbi Shmuel taught that an Eved Melech is like a Melech in a certain sense. That he's like a Melech in the sense that the Malchus sort of rubs off on him a little bit. The next case we listed in the Mishnah was a Chenvani Alpin Kaso. And again, the case of the Chenvani Alpin Kaso is not just where I say that it says in my ledger that you owe me money, but rather I send a Shliach to go buy something from your store. You say you gave the stuff to the Shliach and he hasn't paid you yet. The Shliach says we paid the money and he didn't give us the stuff, right? So now you're out the money, you're out the stuff. So what happens? So Tanya Amar Rabbi Tarech Shvuah Zulama. So he said that someone has to take a Shvuah over here, that you have to take the Shvuah, they have to take a Shvuah, they didn't receive anything, and the Chenvin takes Shvuah, he didn't receive anything. So the Gemara says, what's the point of this Shvuah? Everyone's going to come and take a Shvuah and someone's going to be lying. So Tanina Shneim Nishbayim V'Notlin Mibalabayis. They both take a Shvuah and they get the money, they get reimbursed from the Balabayis. So Kibla Minei or Lo Kibla Minei? At the end of the day, did Rabbi accept that from Rabbi Chia? And was he Choser? Did he not accept that answer from Rabbi Chia? Tashma, Ditanya, Rabbi Yomer Paul and Nishban L'Chenveni, V'misa, the Balabayis Mibayilei. No, because Rabbi said the Paul and swear to who? To the Chenveni. But if they're collecting from the Balabayis, they should really swear to the Balabayis. No, the Polim do swear to the Balabais, but only in front of the Chenveni. Why do they swear in front of the Chenveni? So that if they're lying, at least they'd be embarrassed, because they're saying that the Chenveni never gave them anything. So they're swearing to the guy who sent them, the Balabais who sent them, look, we never got anything, and right in front of the Chenveni, this way they'd be embarrassed. Itmar, shtekit edam amachisho zuazu. If you have two sets of edam that contradict each other, amravuna zubab v'nehasma me'ida v'zubab v'nehasma me'ida. One of them is a liar. We just don't know which set is lying. So either one, each one is eligible to testify in future cases on their own. Rav Chista Amar Bahadi Sadi Shakri Lamali. Rav Chista says, no, if one of these sets is a liar, why would we roll the dice with them in the future? Why would we say, oh, since I don't know whether it's Reuben and Shimon who are lying, or Levi and Yehuda who are lying, so I'm not going to allow either one of them to come and testify in a court in the future. So that's the well-known machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista. There's a Tshuva Shvus Yaakov who was asked the case of an Ishvi Isha, who a man and a woman who mauled their first two children and both of their children died, and then the man and the woman got divorced and they each married other people. So the halacha is when meso achav machnas mila, the next brother doesn't get a mila because there's a chazaka that there's some chulsha, there's some weakness in the family. But how do you know which side the weakness is from? If it's from the father's side or the mother's side, we don't know. So the Tshuva Shvus Yaakov was asked, if the woman gets remarried and then she has another son, should she maul him? Can she maul him? Or do you assume that it's meso achav? So Shvus Yaakov says, the closest I can come to think of a comparison in Shas is Shvus Mem Zayin and Beis. Shnei Kitei Edim Amachishu Zu Zu. You have Reuven and Shimon versus Levi and Yehuda. One of them are liars. We don't know which one is the lie. So what's the halacha? Do you allow each of them to, on their own, to go ahead and still be kosher Edim? Or do you say, no, since it's a 50-50 chance, we're not going to allow any of them? And we pass like Rav Huna that you do allow each one on their own. So the Shvus Yaakov says that leads you to believe that the woman could say, maybe the Cholsha was in my first husband, and this child can get a Mila. But then he says you can't compare. He says, by the case of Shavuos Mem Zayin, it's a Suffolk. So mitam Suffolk, we're going to rely on the Cheskas Kashrus of each set of Edim. When you have a Suffolk about the kid's life, so Suffolk Nefashos, you're not going to go ahead and be makel with the kid's life, right? So we're going to go and we're going to be Machmir to try to be careful not to, Machmir, makel, however you want to say it, try to be careful not to kill Nebuch, the poor little baby. Okay, that's the Tshuva, the Shavuos Yaakov, and Chelek Aleph Siman Ayin Tes. All right, Bez Hashem, next time we will meet will be on Monday with Avodah Zarah Daf Beis. So premature Mazel Tov on finishing the Masechta Shavuos. Okay.